Hi, everyone. Join us for the next IoT show where we talk about Azure Sphere and Azure RTOS. And we'll have guest speaker Mike Hall from the Azure Sphere team joining us. So we're excited for you to come watch with us. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the IoT show. Today, we're going to be talking about Azure Sphere and Azure RTOS. So at Build, we made a big announcement that Azure RTOS is now GA. And this is great, especially now developers can quickly build real-time capable software. And then Azure Sphere offers a secure platform for developers to build high-level applications and run real-time capable apps. So this sounds like a power couple, Azure Sphere and Azure RTOS. But before we jump in, I want to introduce you to our guest speaker, Mike Hall, from the Azure Sphere team. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great, great. Well, I'm excited that you're here. Can you give a little bit of background of what you do at Microsoft?
Yes, sure. So I'm a principal software engineering lead in the Azure Sphere team. And I, in particular, work on a team that is responsible for devices and demos, which is exactly why I'm here today, obviously to show you a demo.
Yes, I'm really excited. For those who don't know me, I am such a robotic fangirl, so I'm super excited to see this demo today. Before we jump in, I think there's going to be a lot of questions about Azure RTOS and Azure Sphere, and why, you know, a little bit more information on why a developer would actually want to run Azure RTOS on an Azure Sphere.
Okay, so let's answer that. So when we think about Azure Sphere, so I've got a development board here. So this is one of the kind of standard Azure Sphere development boards, and the chip in the middle there is the Azure Sphere chip. This is the MediaTek MT3620. And so inside there are a number of different cores, one of which is an ARM A7, and there are also a couple of ARM M4 cores. So on the A7, a developer would write their software that can interface with hardware, but can also interface over the network to Azure services or other cloud services. So you can imagine somebody writing an application that runs on the A7 that is both talking to hardware but also talking to cloud services. But for some of the types of applications that somebody would build for an embedded device, they have hard real-time constraints. They are deterministic. They need to be able to run with hard timing constraints on the application that they write. And so in that case, typically, you'd run that code on top of a real-time operating system, such as Azure RTOS. So in our case, for the demo that we've built here, we have all of the real-time hardware interaction deterministic code running on one of the M4s with Azure RTOS, and then the non-deterministic code that is able to take telemetry from the M4. Yes, it's talking to a display on the front of the robot, so you can see that it's connected and which app it's running is connected to Azure IoT Central in this case. But that A7 app is also then connected to the internet and can send up telemetry and also retrieve commands back from Azure, as well as application updates that can update the A7 or M4 app running on the device.
That makes sense. So we've been talking a lot about real-time capabilities. But what is the real-time capabilities with Azure RTOS with Azure Sphere?
Right. Okay. So in this case, we have some fairly tight timing constraints for our robot, which we'll get to see in a short while. It's a two-wheeled robot, somewhat like a Segway, so it needs to be able to balance. We have a fairly hard hard timing constraint of a 5-millisecond runtime loop for all of the work that's happening, reading the accelerometer, gyro, magnetometer, doing the sensor fusion, doing the PID control loop, and then controlling the motors as well as we've got a couple of laser time of flight sensors on the system to look for obstacles in front and behind the device. So some fairly hard real-time constraints on the M4 side of the house, and then on the A7 side, non-real-time telemetry command and control. So what is Azure RTOS doing in our case? Well, we have a number of threads, Azure RTOS threads running in the system, one of which is doing all of the hardware interaction, one of which is responsible for communication to the A7, to the non-real-time part of the system, as well as another thread that is lazily in the background kind of reading the time of flight sensors to look for obstacles in front and behind the system.
That makes sense, especially comparing that this is going to be a self-balancing robot, that demo. I imagine, of course, real-time capabilities is extremely important. With Azure Sphere, it's all about that secure platform. What is that level of security with Azure Sphere plus Azure RTOS?
Right. So when we think about security, there are obviously many examples that I'm sure both of us could quote around internet-connected devices getting compromised.
Yeah.
So what you really don't want to have is your robot or washing machine or cactus watering system hijacked and potentially being used as part of a denial of service attack, right? So you want to ensure that your system is secure. And Azure Sphere obviously has the best of class security. There is a paper that talks about the 7 properties of highly secure devices. I'd encourage you to go read it. And Azure Sphere ticks all the boxes in terms of security. So what about Azure RTOS? Well, on the Azure Sphere system, I talked about having an A7 core and an M4 core, or a couple of M4 cores on the system. There are a number of firewalls that exist in the system that, when you're writing your application, you specify the types of interfaces that application can use. And on the M4, that would be things like SPI and I2C and UART and GPIO and all the regular kind of hardware interfaces you would expect. But the M4 doesn't have any direct access to the internet or to talk out to outside services.
Yeah.
So there is a pipeline that exists between the M4 and the A7 for transfer of data up from the M4 telemetry and command and control from the A7 back down to the M4. The A7 in this case does have the ability to talk out to the internet, but also has security built in at that level as well. When I'm writing my application to talk to Azure services or some other systems, I will modify the application manifest for my application to specify the endpoints that my application is allowed to talk to. So there's no way for my application to talk to systems outside of that list on the system, or even to talk to hardware connected to the device that is not part of that application manifest.
That makes perfect sense. And with these super secure devices, running real-time apps. Can you give a little bit more examples or scenarios on why this is a important option for developers?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things here. The first of which is when a developer is kind of building their system. One thing for our robot, there's all this hardware interaction and there are kind of multiple sets of work happening here. Time of flight sensors, all of the accelerometer, gyro, motor control, as well as messaging and telemetry. So from that aspect, it's super interesting for a developer to be able to build on top of something like Azure RTOS is a real-time operating system that provides all of the support for threading and mutexes and semaphores and messaging between the threads, as well as messaging between the M4 and the A7. So a developer can easily build on top of that by integrating in their code on top of that highly flexible, highly deterministic real-time operating system. So I think that's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is the security part that you mentioned, which is you want to be able to build a secure, connected internet device. I think many developers, when they're building their embedded system, do think about security, but it's almost an afterthought as opposed to kind of thinking about the security up front. So with Azure Sphere, you kind of get that security built in. You know, we have the ability to update the operating system that runs on the A7. You as the developer have the ability to update the application code that runs on the A7 or the M4s. So you're in control of updating not only your application in terms of functionality updates, but also if you determine there's an issue within your code, you can fix it and push out an update to that as well.
I mean, that makes sense. And you brought up the point that, you know, security might not be initially the thoughts for some developers. I would also add to that where, you know, security is hard. It's extremely hard. You know, it might be something that is thought of mind for folks, and then they have a tough deadline that they have to do and meet to. And there's so many different elements of security. So I'm glad that you brought up earlier for folks to check out that 7 properties of secure devices, because it's a really great paper. And you were just talking about, you know, being able to remotely update your device. Could you deep dive a little bit more into that for developers and what that experience would look like?
Sure, of course. It's very possible that you might want to update one of your applications, either because there's a functionality change or a new feature that you want to introduce, or potentially you found an issue with your code. Maybe there's a memory leak that you want to fix or whatever, right? So as a developer building on Azure Sphere, you have the ability to, in effect, put your devices into different groups. You can think of these almost as kind of rings or deployment stages. So you can have an internal test environment and your production environment, for example. That gives you the ability to write your applications, test your applications locally by deploying your applications from Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code to your device and test it out. And obviously then when ready, you can package your application updates and push them into your test environment, make sure everything works there, and then kind of push from there out into your production environment as well.
That makes a lot of sense. I am really wanting to see this demo.
So okay.
Do you want to jump in there and talk about, you know, what were your goals with building this and just kind of what you used to build the self-balancing robot?
Sure, of course. So there are a couple of ways that we could do that. Either I've got a video that we can show that explains it, or we can switch to the camera and you can see the robot doing its live thing. Which would you prefer?
Let's look at the video, and then I definitely want to see it in real time.
Okay, perfect. All right, so this is the robot. This is running Azure Sphere inside the robot. The case that you see on the top there is the battery compartment. So it's got three AA batteries in there. So it's somewhat top heavy, right? As you can see, it's balancing quite happily. It's kind of doing its thing. You asked a question about some of the reasons for building out this demo. I think there are a few. The first of which is just to show that Azure Sphere and Azure RTOS combined give you the ability to build out devices that are not only internet connected, but also have that kind of hard real time capability that many applications that people build need, right? So it's a combination of hard real time from the Azure RTOS side, as well as the connectivity command and control from the Azure Sphere side. So let's talk about some of the hardware decisions that we made to build out this device. So this is an internal view of the board. So we've built a custom board to sit inside the robot that has all the appropriate components on it. It's 60 millimeters by 27 millimeters, so it's pretty small. It has the battery connector. We've seen the battery compartment on top of the robot. Mm-hmm. It's got status LEDs either side on the front. Micro USB, so we can connect to our desktop or laptop PC and deploy new code from Visual Studio and debug it and test it and do all these kind of good things. It's got the motor driver, the motor controller at the bottom. Time of flight sensor, so this is one of the lasers forward facing on the robot. And there's another one on the back that we'll see in a second. The IMU, so this is the accelerometer, gyro, magnetometer. The display, which is 32 pixels by 128 pixels, kind of small. And then on the back, Here's the Azure Sphere module. This is the Avnet module, which is running the Azure Sphere MT3620 chip. There's the Avnet module. Two motor interfaces, so the motors kind of plug into the sockets on the bottom, the rear time of flight sensor, and a power switch so that we can turn it on. Any kind of questions there?
No, I think that's just really straightforward. I'm interested now of, you know, is Azure RTOS controlling the motors?
Yes. So from the hardware architecture side of things, there's the A7 core, which is running the software that is connecting to Azure IoT Central. And then there's the M4 core. And all of the hardware interaction, apart from the OLED display, is happening on the M4. So okay. Azure RTOS has all the code in it that is reading the IMU, the accelerometer gyromagnetometer. It's doing sensor fusion on that data to look at the kind of lean angle of the robot. And then it's using something called a Mahoney filter and a PID controller to determine how fast the motors need to turn to keep the robot balanced. So all of that is happening under the control of Azure RTOS running on the M4. And that is running inside a control loop that is on a 5 millisecond tick.
That makes sense. Is anything being sent up to the cloud? I'm curious because all of this looks like it's happening on the device, but is there any like telemetry or anything being sent up to the cloud?
Yes, yes, there is. So there is an inter-core bridge between the M4 and the A7. So as we're running the Azure RTOS code, the real-time code, we're reading various things about the robot. So first of all, we're reading the amount of battery that remains. Potentially we could warn the user that we're running low on power, right? The second thing that we're doing is obviously reading the accelerometer gyromagnetometer, figuring out information about the robot, the direction it's facing and how much it's leaning, how much power we need to put on the motors, all these kind of things. So that kind of information is being sent from the M4 to the A7. And then the A7 is then connected to Azure IoT Central, so that we can push up that telemetry from our robot up to Azure, and then we can view in graphs and other kind of data formats the current state of that robot.
Okay, that makes sense. Now I'm curious, if you are running this robot, and I know we talked earlier about over-the-air updates, what if you did an over-the-air update while the robot was, balancing or self-balancing? What would happen? Is it going to fall? Could you give a little bit of information there?
Okay, so that's a great question. As a software developer, I write code that runs on the A7 that is connected to the internet. And one of the things I can do in that application is get a notification that an update to my device is pending. And then I, as the application developer, get to make a decision about whether I'm going to take that update or not. So in our case, for the robot, the M4 is reading all the sensors on the device. It can figure out how much the device is leaning, therefore whether it's standing up or laying down. So in our case, when the A7 application gets that notification that there's an update pending, we look at the telemetry data that's coming from the M4, determine whether the robot is standing or laying. If it's standing, we change the icon on the OLED display to show there's an update pending and then defer the update for 1 minute. 1 minute later, obviously, we'll get the notification again that an update is pending. And again, we can check, is the robot standing up or is it laying down? If it's laying down, then we can say, okay, we're in a good spot. We can take that update and then kind of continue from there. The way that we've got this implemented for this demo, for the robot, is there are four icons displayed on the front panel of the robot. The first of which is the amount of power remaining. The second is its Wi-Fi connectivity. The third is its connection to Azure IoT Central. And the fourth is simply the letter A or B. So we can deploy an application update over the air to the robot. And initially it will show A on the front panel, and when it gets the update and it's applied and the application restarts, it will change it to show B because it's the second version of the application, right?
Yeah. Could we see that? Could we actually see the robot right now and see all of the screen that you're just talking about?
Sure. Yes. Let me move my camera so that you can see the robot. Let me just grab that. Okay. Let me know if you can see the robot.
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I've got a USB cable plugged in the side. That's not actually needed to run the robot. I've got that connected because earlier I was connected to Visual Studio. I could use Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code to write my code, deploy it, test it, debug it. So here's the display on the front that shows at the top power, Wi-Fi, IoT Central, and then the letter A. Just above that is the time of flight sensor hole. And then I can, you know, lift this up and you can see it, you know, doing its thing, right? Kind of balancing on my desk, right? Yeah, so there it is.
So you have the IoT Central icon. What is that actually doing? Is it you're connecting through IoT Central for this demo?
Yes. So the way that the application running on the A7 is working, when the application starts up, it looks to see if it has a network connection, in this case, a Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
And if it has, it will then make a connection to Azure IoT Central.
Okay.
And when it has that connection to Azure IoT Central, then the robot can start sending telemetry, you know, from the A7 application up to Azure IoT Central.
Great. I can imagine it's a nice way to visualize the data coming in and just having a nice dashboard.
Yes. Okay. And it also gives you the ability to send commands the other way as well. So from Azure IoT Central, you could not only visualize what's happening with the robot in terms of amount of battery that's remaining and information about the accelerometer, gyro, magnetometer, all that kind of information.
Yep.
But you could also imagine that you could send some interesting commands the other direction, you know, face north, for example. that kind of thing.
Sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great. Is anything else you want to cover with the demo? I'm a big fan. I'm waiting for mine to come into the mail. So whenever you want to ship me one of these guys, I just give me one of the dev boards and I can build it myself.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. It's in the post.
It'll take a long time to get here.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I'm curious on how can people get started and learn more about Azure RTOS with Azure Sphere? Where would you recommend for them to go?
Yes, so I think one of the best places to go would be to the Azure Sphere website. Mm-hmm. And then kind of get information from there. Order a dev board. I think I showed you one of them earlier. This is one of the larger dev boards. There are many different boards that exist out there, mini dev kits, Avnet, and so on. Obviously, get Azure RTOS, get Visual Studio, Visual Studio Code, and then start writing, deploying, testing your applications.
Yes, and for Azure RTOS, since we made the announcement at Build, we also have all of the components on GitHub, so folks can start playing with Azure RTOS now. So, well, thank you so much, Mike. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And we're excited for you to get started with Azure RTOS and Azure Sphere. Thank you.